Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Sestrina here, getting ready to talk about the return of the Amazing Race 26 here tonight. But before we get into tonight's recap, I want to take a moment to thank our sponsor for this episode of Rob's Podcast, and those are friends over at DraftKings.com, because spring training is underway and the start of the regular season, and I'm very excited about my Mets for once this year. And there's also never been a better time to be excited about fantasy baseball than at DraftKings.com, because it's America's favorite daily fantasy baseball site where you can win huge daily cash prizes. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. And if you're one of these blind date teams on the Amazing Race, you're not into commitments either. Not to mention you won't have to slog through a long season to collect your winnings. Just instant cash, instant gratification. It's a new season every time you play. So just pick two pitchers, eight position players, stay under the salary cap, and you could be on your way to a massive payday. In fact, DraftKings has already crowned over a dozen millionaires. Hundreds of thousands of fantasy sports fans have already cashed in at DraftKings. Now it's your turn. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and use a promo code ROB to play for free in the $100,000 fantasy baseball contest for opening day. First place takes home $10,000. Use promo code ROB for free entry now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here he is, Captain Obvious, Rob Sestrinino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our first Amazing Race wrap up in quite some time. We are back here, fired up and ready to go after a explosive Amazing Race. And with me, as always, is the most knowledgeable Amazing Race person that I know, and perhaps in all of the wide world. Here is the one and only Jessica Lease.
Hey, Rob. Can I be Lieutenant Obvious?
Yes, Lieutenant Obvious. How are you?
I'm
status
great,
report.
Rob. Everything's 10-4.
10-4.
I don't know. Military. No, salute.
Your report needs to be like, well, it's Friday.
Oh, right. I got to be obvious. I was leaning more on the military angle of that. Yeah, it's Friday and we just watched the Amazing Race.
Yes. Yes. And it was a wild night all around. It was the night where the dating couples strike back. All of the dating couples fared rather well for the most
part.
Almost all of them. And the blind date couples seemingly all had major conflict.
Yeah, all of a sudden they just land in Germany and all of a sudden they all hate each other.
What is this? Is there something in the water?
Maybe.
All right. So we're very excited to be back live after a 2-week hiatus. I mean, technically, 3 weeks ago tonight was the night that they skipped two episodes. That was the last time we did a Amazing Race podcast here. And it was, can you believe it was so long ago that Team New Kids on the Block got eliminated?
Yeah, I think it feels like the last time we were here talking about Amazing Race, New Kids on the Block might have been on the pop charts.
Yes, I think you're right. They were right there. All right, so we're going to talk about everything from tonight's episode. Of course, we've got the chat room open on robswebsite.com, and then we're also following your tweets with the hashtag RHAP, and then on our YouTube channel at robswebsite.com/YouTube. Of course, we are scheduled for a exit interview coming up this Monday with Bergen and Kurt.
I think it'll be a good one. I think they are, as far as I know, they enjoy the podcast and they've been very nice on social media. So here's hoping that they've kind of processed everything and they're ready to talk about it candidly.
To me, this seems like one of the most potentially contentious. Typically, the exit interviews might go where there's friction between the team versus me. That's what's happened in the past. I've never had an exit interview where there's friction between the two people on the team.
Yeah, well, we've been hoping for this all season that we'd end up with a team that, you know, might actually have some words to say to each other.
Yeah, well, it seems like they definitely will. I saw them at the end of the episode, Jess. They walked out of the train station. They both went separate ways. Have you ever seen this before on The Amazing Race?
It was so heavy with symbolism.
It was very symbolic. And
we have a
Journey soundtrack.
Yeah. Well, I think Survivor's borrowing that one this year.
I think so. All right.
We have occasionally seen it where someone in a confessional has said, you know, this person has proven himself to not be the person I thought he was, and I'm really going to have to reevaluate. And I mean, you know how many people break up after going on the show. Mm-hmm. So it's not unprecedented, but we've never seen it like that obviously played out on screen.
Yeah. All right. So there's a lot to break down tonight. We'll get into all of it. All right. So it's Bergen and Kurt, which are the team that is eliminated tonight. Jess, it seems like many of the teams tonight broke your cardinal rule of Amazing Racing. What is that, Jess?
Always learn how to drive a stick shift.
Now, it seems like, well, we had some blind date couples, and it's almost like you kind of roll the dice if you're a blind date couple and say, well, maybe they'll pair me with somebody else who knows how to drive the stick shift. Sort of like when I go on Survivor, and I'm like, well, I don't need to know how to make a fire. Hopefully they'll put me with somebody that knows how to make a fire. In this instance, I almost give the blind date couples more of a pass than I do when we talk about a dating couple like Matt and Rochelle.
Well, for sure, if you're going on the race with someone you already know, you're going to know which one of you knows how to drive a stick shift. And I can tell you right now, if I'm going on the race with someone I know, I'm going to make sure they know how to drive a stick shift. But if I'm going on as a blind date, I need to be prepared for anything. You need to be prepared for twice as many possibilities. And so I think it really is incumbent on you to know how to do everything that you know you need to know how to do.
So you are giving none of these teams an express pass in culpability for not knowing how to drive a stick shift.
Nobody gets a pass.
Nobody. Wow.
It's wow. In the JL rules. You got to learn how to drive a stick shift.
Got to learn how to drive a stick shift. Okay. Let's talk about Bergen and Kurt, because there was a lot of things going on here. Now, they came in first on the last episode 6 years ago during the last episode of The Amazing Race. They were the team that was first, and they did the rare first to worst on The Amazing Race, and not just worst, where Phil had to come and go to where you are, not you go see Phil. Phil is going to call out for you.
That's like worst plus plus.
Yes. Yes. And what a fall from grace for Bergen and Kurt. Okay. Now, Bergen and Kurt, they were one of the blind date couples, but they realized that things were not going to work out romantically for Bergen and Kurt. Was this a mutual decision in your mind?
It looked pretty mutual to me, and it looked like it happened in the first 15 minutes of the race.
See, I feel like it was a little bit less than mutual.
I don't think that it was either one of them was attracted to the other one necessarily, but I think maybe in Bergen's mind, he thought, well, they want me to fall in love with this guy, so I'm really going to try hard to do it.
Hmm.
And I get the sense that maybe he was trying to make himself feel something that he really wasn't feeling, but I didn't see any attraction from either one of them. From minute one.
So, okay, I don't want to debate whether there was attraction, whether it was not on either part, but it seemed to me as though, was it Kurt was the one who was disappointed that there was not romance?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes. Okay. So now that there was not romance, I think that, and again, I hope I'm not confusing Bergen and Kurt, and please in the chat room, let me know.
They look like they could be brothers.
Yes.
Which is problem number one, and why that wasn't a love match, because you kind of tend to want to go for someone that doesn't look like they could be secretly related to you.
Right, right. That could be very tricky. So you could get catfished even with something like that.
Yeah, it's never good. And I mean, what does that say about you if the person that you're attracted to looks exactly like you? You know,
whoa.
People will talk.
Yes, people will talk. All right, so it's like a Cersei Jamie Lannister thing.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
All right,
and you know that doesn't work out well for anybody.
All right, so anyway, so after they made this decision of okay, well, we're just going to be friends, did you feel like it was in that moment that Kurt checked out?
Yeah, I think for the last couple of legs, they were really kind of in this mode like, well, we'll be friends and we'll be like that team of friends that always runs the race. And, you know, friends do okay on the race. But I think at a certain point, they realize, well, no, this is just a random stranger. This is not my friend. This is not someone that I can fall in love with. Why am I even here?
Well, they give $1 million to the person that comes in first place. You have a 1 in 8 shot at getting $500,000.
Yeah. Yeah. I think sometimes people lose sight of that.
And so then they had to drive the stick shift, and I believe it was Bergen that was driving. Is that correct?
I am not sure. I did not make a note of it because I did not know I'd be quizzed on it, Rob.
But it's a quiz. There's always a quiz. That's one of the RC rules.
Yeah, I know. And I was bad at this as I am at identifying Rupert tweets.
Yes. Okay. So anyway, we have now, if Bergen is driving now, what is going on here? Why? What is the problem that Kurt was nervous about Bergen driving the car?
Yeah, I guess because neither one of them knew how to drive a stick shift, and they thought, well, I'm just going to kill the transmission over and over and over, and we won't be able to get anywhere.
Yeah. Do you think Ford was thrilled with how the product placement turned out tonight?
Well, I think what Ford needs to be doing when they're putting these cars in, I think they need to run, in their ads that run during the show, they need to have emblazoned across the bottom of the screen, it needs to say, also available in automatic.
Right. So do you feel like, I guess what I'm getting to here with this line of questioning is, do you feel like that it was a sabotage on the part of Kurt to say, you know what, I'm not here for a relationship anymore, this isn't happening, while it seemed like Bergen wanted to keep going and try to drive the car, it seemed like maybe did Kurt put his foot down and say, oh, I'm not comfortable with this. Let's get in the car. Let's go take a train. Was there an intentional quit on this?
I don't think there was an intentional quit because there are many, many much easier ways to do an intentional quit. Like, you don't need to go traipsing all over Germany in several different alternate modes of transportation if all you want to do is quit.
Okay. Well, it did seem like they didn't have their heart into it. I mean, at least it seemed like maybe Bergen did, but it seems almost to me like now Kurt was not going full tilt.
Yeah, well, I think they were both still kind of into it up until the point where they were about halfway through the penalty. And then you kind of saw them like just sort of phone it in for the rest of the time. And at a certain point, I could see them just saying, oh, we're going to go hang out in a train station until someone comes and finds us.
Yeah. Okay. So they hung out in the train station, and it really was like, I mean, at the point where you're just taking a train to the next pit stop, I mean, it really just seemed like it was just a lack of effort.
Yeah. Yeah. And it looked like, I'm not even sure they were in the right spot at that point.
No.
Because I mean, I haven't looked at it on a map, but I'm guessing that this is a lake that they're going to, and there are probably several different resort towns around the lake, and I'm not even sure they were at the right one.
Yeah. It just felt like they were in put me out of our misery mode.
Yeah. It's like, I'm just going to sit here and like send up a flare and the rescue team is going to come get us.
Okay. All right. So I'm sure there's going to be more to that story when we get to the exit interview on Monday. All right, let's talk about some of the other hijinks from tonight. Let's talk about the big blow up between Jeff and Jackie, team JJ.
Yeah, that I was surprised to see that because up until this point, I thought they were the team that seemed to be kind of hitting it off the best.
Yeah, they had probably the most explosive fight of the night. They did seem to patch things up by the end of the leg. But I mean, that was ugly. That was one of the uglier fights I've seen on The Amazing Race.
Yeah, that was pretty. And, you know, you've been watching seasons with Brenchel.
Yeah, yeah. But Brenchel never say, you know, you're so effing annoying and things like that. I mean,
it's true. It's not to each other. It's to the universe.
Yeah, I mean, and Brendan and Rachel have definitely gotten into their share of arguments, but they don't get into these sort of like, you know, F you know, shut up, I hate you, you know, back and forth types of things that we saw with John and Jackie and Jeffrey tonight.
These things have happened on the show before.
Oh, I'm sure they have. I'm just saying that it's rare that we see this.
Yeah, especially in recent seasons, they don't seem to cast people that are capable of getting that unhinged anymore. I think Dave and Rachel were the last team that we saw that really talked to each other like that, and that was six seasons ago.
Yeah. And so I don't really understand what happened right before that that caused this argument. Why did Jackie get so upset with Jeff?
It looks like it was just kind of a random...
He wasn't listening to her?
It was like he wasn't really listening to her, and they didn't know which direction they were going, and they were having a lot of trouble kind of figuring out what to do next. And when you're in that position and there's pressure and you know there's people behind you and you know that you're going to get eliminated if you don't, I can see where it's very easy to think that you have to act and you have to do the right thing right away. And if you don't do the exact right thing, you know, you're done for.
Okay.
And at that point, that's when tempers start to run high.
All right. Let's talk about another of the blind date couples that struggled tonight. All right. Let's talk about Blaley. And Blaley, it looked like they were on the upswing. I think they started off the leg tonight in second place. But boy, Haley was in rare form tonight.
Yeah. I think every single leg you go into it, and at the beginning of the leg, Blair says something like, "Oh, I'm getting used to it. You know, I'm adapting. I'm going with the flow. It's all good. And, you know, Haley and I, we get along okay." And then Haley takes him to a new depth of conflict that he was not prepared for.
Yeah. I mean, could we officially say at this point in time, and again, we're only watching a little bit of footage, but she's the problem here, right?
Yeah, I think we have to finally say that she is the problem. I think early on...
With all due respect, yeah, he's not perfect.
Early on, it looked like Blair was not really helping the situation, but I think at this point, he's kind of realized there's nothing he could do differently.
Yeah, he's a little resigned.
And so he just kind of settles back and lets it happen, which I think you really do have to do in that situation.
I mean, it was really like in front of the other teams and everything. You felt kind of bad for Blair.
Yeah, I did. I felt pretty bad for him. It seemed like there was nothing positive coming out of Haley today.
Yes. In fairness to Haley, that Blair has pissed her off to the point of no return.
Yeah, clearly.
Which is something my wife has said to me before.
Yeah, and yet you are still together, so maybe there's something there.
To the point of no return. All right.
And, you know, they continue to be friendly on social media, so I guess they must have, whatever happened, they must have gotten through it. I'm going to be interested to see how this plays out for the rest of the season.
All right, let's talk about one of the other crazy things that happened in tonight's episode. So we had the case of the missing fanny pack. Tyler and Laura left the fanny pack in the car, and kudos to Tyler and Laura for not losing their minds. Could you imagine how Haley would have reacted if Blair lost the fanny pack in one of the cars?
Yeah, you ever see the movie Scanners?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were going to need that shop vac from the beer hall to clean that mess up.
All right. But they were, you know, they were calm and collected, and they just went ahead and did the task and then waited for the other team to show up. But can we officially say that it was Jackie and Jeffrey were up to no good? We're up to shenanigans with the fanny pack. Was there foul play?
That was downright villainous. I was very surprised. Although I think it did kind of bring them back together. Like, at this point, they had something to collude on. I think it kind of cleared the air between them.
Yeah. So who do you think was the brains behind that? Like, when they asked Jackie if they had a fanny pack and she said no, was she lying or she wasn't in on the plan?
She was lying because they found it when they got in the car.
Mm. So why then hide it in the car? Like, why not throw it out the side of the, throw it out the window?
I'm guessing that there is a race rule, which we know about from two seasons ago when we witnessed the bags getting taken out of the cab. There is a rule that says you cannot tamper with another racer's stuff.
Could you put it in the trunk?
You might be able to put it in the trunk, but I think it's you kind of start to verge on tampering at that point. Like, as long as that thing is still in the back seat, they can kind of claim that it's unmolested.
Okay.
I'm guessing at the point where they remove it from the car, they are now tampering with someone else's stuff if they're not then directly giving it back to the team.
Okay, so Jackie and Jeffrey go off to go get the instructions for the challenge, and we end up seeing that Tyler and Laura sneak in the car, take out the fanny pack, and run for it. Are they allowed to just go in their car?
Well, it was their stuff.
But it wasn't their car.
It wasn't their car.
So is that bad on Jeff and Jackie to leave the car unlocked?
They should have left the car locked.
Yeah.
I think that was their screw up. If they're really going to commit to this deception and they're really going to try to knock this other team out of the race, they got to lock their car door and they got to like hide it a little bit better.
All right, talk to me about this strategically, Jess. Did you like what Jackie and Jeff did?
I thought it kind of hinged a little bit on dirty play. It is within the rules. You know, they always say that, you know, if somebody doesn't ding you for it or give you a penalty, all is fair in love and racing. But I thought it was a little bit douchey.
Less than stellar. What would you have done?
I think I would have given it back to them the first time I saw them. I wouldn't have sought them out, but at a point where they're like sitting there waiting at their car, I might say, yeah, we found your bag. Here you go. Now you owe us.
Did they know whose bag it was?
Yeah, they did. They opened it up and they saw whose passports were in there.
Okay. And so they tried to play it coy, but it did not work out. And then we saw Tyler and Laura say, like, okay, well, now we know, you know, people are playing for keeps.
Yeah, now we know what kind of person you really are.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Now we know all about you. Okay. Let's talk through some of the challenges tonight and some interesting stuff. Of course, we started with some Lederhosen, Jess. Are you excited anytime we can get to see Lederhosen on The Amazing Race?
I am a big fan of Bavarian clothing. I think it's a good look on everybody.
It's a good look on everybody. And so, yeah, it seemed like they were really pushing the envelope to try to get the sexiness out here with this Lederhosen challenge, though.
Yeah, well, you know, tight pants.
Tight pants, show the boobs was said.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, everybody on this show is attractive. They want people to bang and nobody's banging. So they got to get everybody. Maybe they got to slut it up a little bit.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
get them drunk and put them in some skimpy clothing. Maybe that'll push the buttons.
All right. So, but it really seemed like the Lederhosen was sort of much ado about nothing, right? They really just like got them in the clothes and then it was pretty cut and dry.
It's mostly just to make them, you know, blend in with the locals, I guess.
All right. So then after they did that, then we had to get into the, what was it, a Ford Escort?
No, it was a Ford Focus.
Focus.
Come on, Rob. They said this like 35 times over the course of the episode.
Yes. Have they ever done that before where then they did like a 3-minute commercial about the product placement?
They have never done a thing where they take you behind the scenes on the challenge
did
and show
like
off
that?
The car. I think anything that gets the bills paid in this, you know, I'm okay with it, but I don't think I needed to see them putting up drywall and like leading reindeer in on a leash. I don't need to see that. That's not necessary.
Yeah, it really threw off my DVRing and fast forwarding of the commercials because it was in the commercial spot. There was like, you know, a 2.5-minute commercial about the car. Right? Was that?
Yeah.
Like, if you had to go to the bathroom, it really screwed you up.
Yeah, it kind of did. I don't know. I was trying to take notes, and then I realized I'm not taking notes on this. I'm just going to say this was a commercial for a car.
So we're not going to report on the commercial?
I don't think so.
But the camera, Jess.
Yeah, I know. You can like look in the camera and, oh, it's got a GPS, which the racers are allowed to use. That is not okay.
Yeah. Speaking of not okay, what was going on with Phil's voice in this episode?
Oh, maybe he's a little under the weather.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It happens to the best of us.
Poor Phil. I thought he was really hurting.
Yeah. Well, I spent the entire Amazing Race hiatus under the weather, so I know how Phil feels.
Oh no. How are you doing?
I'm a little bit better. I think I caught something at Know It All's Live.
No.
It's like I was sick like the day after and then the entire last 2 weeks.
Food poisoning?
No, not food poisoning. Like, I don't know. My nerd friends call
it. You didn't take the brown acid, did you?
No. Okay. Stay away from the brown acid. But, you know, my nerd friends call it con crud. Like, you end up picking up a cold every time you hang out with people that come in from all over.
Oh, no. All right. Well, that is good to note for the future.
Yeah. You know, take your echinacea and your vitamin C before you go to the next live event.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You're making the next Rob Has a Podcast meetup seem like it's like some sort of contagion? Was that?
Yeah, biohazard suits for everybody at the next Rob Has a Podcast.
No, I don't want to go. Okay, so hopefully Phil is doing better for next week's episode. Okay, so then we had to find the car and then drive it to the place, but we had to go with the stick shift. So many teams didn't know the stick shift, though. Bergen and Kurt, and then Mike and Rochelle, and also Jelani and Jenny.
Yeah, where did they get these people? Have they never seen an episode of The Amazing Race? You have to know how to drive a stick shift. Mm-hmm. In Rochelle and Mike's case, it's even more unforgivable because, like we said before, they already know each other. They should know whether one of them knows how to drive stick shift.
Okay, so somebody like Mike drives this car doesn't know how to drive the stick shift. Is that car just totally ruined now after this? Will that car need a new transmission after this? And is it worth it for give me an estimate on how much damage that does to the car?
I live in New York City, Rob. I don't drive a car. But I hear that.
I thought that you're just a wealth of general information, though.
I hear that if you drive a car, like in first year, the entire way there, and it makes that grinding noise, then you pretty much have to replace the transmission.
Okay.
So, that's what I hear, but I do not know firsthand.
Yeah, because I could think it would be fun to ruin a car.
I think so too, but I think it'd be more fun to win $1 million.
Yeah, but I mean, if you don't know what you're doing, it's like, okay, I would have been like, well, I don't know how to drive a stick, but you know, I'm just going to have fun ruining this car. I mean, it's like the ultimate, like, it's a rental.
Yeah, I think it's exactly right.
Yeah. So it's not your car. They're not going to, you know, you don't have to like reimburse them for the car. Yeah.
So. Well, are you going to do that in general? Like, even if you do know how to drive the stick shift, like weave all over the road and like go up on the curb and hit a garbage can?
Yeah, I think I would. I think I would be just sort of like whenever you like have the car in like Grand Theft Auto or something, you just be like driving around, like hit fire hydrants and stuff like that.
The next installment of Grand Theft Auto is going to be Grand Theft Auto Ford Focus.
Amazing Race. Yes. Although then those police sirens start. That's a big problem. They're going to come and get you. All right. So a couple of teams could not drive the stick shift. And then we had the whole thing with Bergen and Kurt ending up deciding to just get out of their car. Have you ever seen that before, Jess, where somebody abandons the car on The Amazing Race?
I have never seen that before. I have seen, especially early on, there was a team that abandoned a task entirely and just like went on to the next thing and got eliminated because of it. But I've never seen a team just like leave their car and decide to do something totally different.
Yeah. No, it was so wild. And so they just decided to give up because, again, I thought it's Bergen that's driving, but that Kurt was navigating, but he wouldn't give him the directions because he was too paranoid. I just want to make sure I understand that correctly.
Yeah, I think he just kind of insisted that they not even bother trying. And I think that's where the source of the tension was.
And you don't feel there was like any sabotage?
There's no sabotage.
Because if there was sabotage,
I think they would not have gone to the great lengths of still trying to get to the next task.
Okay, I'll get to the bottom of this on Monday.
All right, you do that. And, you know, I would be happy to say it was sabotage because I could quote the Beastie Boys, but I don't think it was.
All right. Jess, let's talk about Stein or Stack. Was it Eric Stein?
I don't think it was Eric Stein.
Was it Robert Stack?
I'm pretty sure Robert Stack is dead.
So, well, Eric Stein is still alive for now. And so,
for now.
Yeah, so what would you have chosen, Stein or Stack?
I think Stein was a lot easier.
That was a lot easier, right?
Yeah, it was a lot easier.
What is Haley's problem that she could not do this?
I think Haley just has like little T-Rex arms. I don't think she had the upper body strength to handle it.
Well, isn't short arms, is that better?
I guess short arms would be okay, but she didn't have the buff arms that she needed.
Yeah.
It was more of the issue.
And so you had to carry the things, and I feel like she gave up on this rather quickly.
Yeah, which is shocking for Haley because her perseverance and her quiet strength is something that we've remarked upon on this podcast many times in the past.
Yeah. That looked like one hell of a party they went to.
Yeah. Oh, Rob, you don't even know. And I haven't even gotten to crow about this, but I've been to Munich. It is a nonstop party. They drink like, on average, compared to the rest of Germany, they drink 100 liters more beer per year.
Wow.
And I didn't even go during Oktoberfest, and I went to the Hofbrauhaus, and they had a band playing, and they served the beer in those giant steins, and I think it was a pretty good time. I'm not totally sure.
So you went there and you drank a bunch of the beer and hung out and danced?
Yeah, it's a party. Munich is a great city, and we only got to see like little snippets of its beautiful country out there.
Did you do any beer stacking?
I didn't stack anything.
Okay, none.
Like, after you drink one of those steins, you're not stacking anything.
Yeah. Do you buy that people are really doing that?
I buy that like a couple of bored college kids probably did it once.
Okay. Fair enough.
I think they do it about as often as they, you know, run around in inflatable bull suits in Spain.
Yeah. All right. So after they did Steiner stack, who wants to woo?
Yeah. I don't know. I got a lot of flashbacks to two seasons ago.
What, on Survivor?
No, not on Survivor, but...
Because they said, who wants to woo then also?
Yeah, who wants to woo? Is that like when you talk like a surfer and you put on those shoes with little toes in them?
You know, Tony, that being here in the challenge with you, I'm going to sing in German. That's going to be awesome. So, yeah,
You're branching out on the impressions lately, Rob.
Who wants to woo, Jess? And you had to sing a German song. And of course, we loved it when it was the Vienna Boys Choir back in Amazing Race 24 or 23.
Yeah, that was 24. It was 23.
Yes, 24 was
the
All-Stars.
One before the one we don't talk about.
Right.
And it was the one where, one of my personal favorite moments is poor oil worker Tim trying to get through that song over and over.
Yeah.
And I was hoping for that to happen again. And I guess lightning can't strike twice.
Yeah. What'd you think of the element of throwing a bucket of water in people's faces?
I liked that a lot.
I did too.
You know who liked it the most though was Jeff.
Yes.
It was the best where they threw the bucket of water on Jack. He's like, that's great.
Yes. I believe the term wet t-shirt contest was used.
Yeah. And of course, when she's standing on the ladder and he's above her, he can see like right down the front of her shirt.
Yes. Yes. It's Family Hour on CBS. Tune in. Wet t-shirt contest and more. All right. So who did you think had was the best at singing?
Well, Jackie was the best by a country mile. She sounded terrific.
She's a showgirl.
Like, she's clearly had vocal training.
Yes.
Everybody else was terrible.
Even Mike?
Mike had enthusiasm, and I could feel his emotional connection to the song, but yeah.
Yeah. I think my favorite part of that was probably when it was, I want to make sure I have this right. This was when Ashley went, and I believe the quote was, I'm going to serenade your ass right now.
Yes. I thought that should have been the episode title.
Yes. Maybe they couldn't get that past the censors.
Maybe not.
I'm going to serenade your ass right now, Matt. You ready? You ready for this? Okay. that was very good. And then we ended up with then coming into tonight. It was where the I want to call them previous couples struck back. We had our team Sochi tonight. They were the first people in the clubhouse. Allie and Steve. Are you feeling the Allie and Steve winner vibe, Jess?
they're getting, you know, what our friend Steven might call the winner's edit.
Yes. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah, dude, you don't have that soundbite queued up, do you?
I do, but I try not to cross the streams between the Survivor and the Amazing Race. But if you want it.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I think they're being set up as the boring team that's good at everything.
Yeah, they're pretty good. And they had a good outing, with the exception of some of Steve's rowing, which Phil made fun of him in the flesh.
Yeah, well, I didn't see Phil row in the boat.
Yes. It feels like Allie and Steve are off to, they're in first place, but not for long if Steve's going to keep rowing like that.
And then Steve takes the oar with him and...
Yeah. Like, so, screw you, Phil.
Locks him in the head with it.
Yeah. Okay. And then we also got to see where it was Matt and Ashley. They're the second team tonight.
Yeah. Matt and Ashley, I think they were early on not a team that were striking me as being particularly well-suited for the race. Like, they kind of sniped at each other a lot. They got lost a lot. They weren't great at the challenges, but now they've kind of figured it out. They've hit their stride.
They've hit their stride. They're doing pretty good. Yeah. And then it was a big block of the blind date teams where we had Team JJ, Team Blaley, and Jenny and Jelani were all 3, 4, 5. And then Laura and Tyler brings up the rear, and then there's 6. And then there's a big gap between Matt and Rochelle at 7, or Mike and Rochelle at 7.
Yeah. That's right. And then another big gap, and you have to go across the lake to the train
station. Grand Canyon, right, between Team Kurgan. But I really feel like the team out of all this, this top six, to me, that's the sleeper, is Tyler and Laura.
Yeah, they seem to get along really well. Like, we have not seen any kind of conflict out of them yet, and we've seen conflict out of every other team that's left.
Yeah, and I also feel like they're the sleeper for the love connection also.
Yeah, they seem to be almost fighting it.
Hmm. So do you think maybe they could win the race and also find love? Boy, if there was ever a person that was going to come back for an all-star season, wouldn't it be Tyler and Laura?
They'd probably set up an all-star season next season.
Yes.
Just to like milk that for all it was worth.
Oh, wow.
And I think you might have to find a new Amazing Race correspondent if they make another all-star season next season.
You'd walk. You'd pull a...
I would run.
You would pull a Kurt on me?
Yeah, I would pull a Kurt on you.
I'm trying to drive stick shift, and you're like, that's it.
I'm getting out of the car and getting
I'm taking a train. Okay. Jess, anything else that stood out to you about tonight's episode?
Oh, I think we've covered things pretty thoroughly, I think.
Thorough. That's what we like to do on
the
Amazing Race
for Half. We should take some questions.
Let's jump into the questions from the listeners. I know you guys have weeks of questions waiting for us piled up. So let's jump into that. Of course, hashtag RHAP or robiswebsite.com/YouTube. Okay. Let's take a question from ID Institute, who says, weren't Steve and Allie not allowed to use the GPS at the beginning? Jess, is that true?
I was a little bit puzzled about that, but I'm guessing that the car had the GPS and the GPS was not disabled and nobody told them they couldn't. And then later in the leg, I think what happened was Matt and Ashley realized they could use it and they turned it on at that point.
Okay. It seemed like, why didn't Bergen and Kurt use the GPS?
Because Bergen and Kurt couldn't make the car move.
Yes. I mean, I know they don't know how to drive a stick shift, but do they know how to do GPS?
It hasn't been proven conclusively either way.
Okay. All right. So here's a question from JJ Rules of Seven. Where does Bergen and Kurt's car mishap rank in Amazing Race fails, Jess?
Well, it's funny. I knew this was going to come up.
Oh.
And I thought, you know, we talked about Amazing Race fails 2 years ago, when we were talking about John and Jessica going out with the express pass in their hand.
Right.
And I was like, I'm pretty sure I cataloged my list of the top Amazing Race fails at that point. So I went back on Rafa's website and I just searched for dumbest Amazing Race moves and it came up. And so I can tell you right now that this kind of blows all of them out of the water.
Really? I'm surprised to hear you say that.
I would say it's easily a top five, maybe top three dumb move moment. And
give me the top three. Give me the top three.
The top three, I'm going to go with, in season 7, we had these two women named Debbie and Bianca who drove for 3 hours in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew that they were supposed to be someplace with mountains and they couldn't figure out why there were beaches.
Okay.
We had in season 2, I think it was season 2, there were this team of older women who were in South America and had to get to Africa and decided the most direct route to get there would be to go to New York and then London and come down to Africa.
Okay.
And I would also go with...
I think that move was actually attempted by Eric Stein in Reality Game Masters also.
Yeah, that's... It reminded me a lot of playing Risk.
Two Eric Stein references tonight.
Yeah, that was another point at which Phil had to go and get them because they were... Or Phil had to, like, go to sleep and then get up in the middle of the night and wait on the mat for them. They were, like, 19 hours behind or something.
Okay.
And then...
This is number one?
It might be number one. It's pretty... I don't like to necessarily absolutely rank things because you never know. We're seeing something that's edited down, but that seemed to me to be pretty dumb. And then we talked about John and Jessica going out with that express pass in their pocket. And you said at the time you thought it was probably the dumbest thing that's ever happened on the show.
Right.
And I said, I think there are dumber things, but I wasn't going to fight you on it.
And so what did you say? Did you agreed with me?
I said I'd stick that in the top three, but I think it's getting bumped down to four.
No!
Come on, Kurt and Bergen were... This was way dumber than leaving with the express pass.
To me, it wasn't like they were doing something that was... They didn't do it for strategy. I feel like one of the guys was like, I don't care anymore. And then that was what they were just sort of forced into. I felt like one person was like, come on, let's go. Let's do this. Let's drive the stick shift. And it was like, I'm not comfortable with this. Let's walk.
So saying it was more of a like... It was less of an active choice than one made out of resignation.
Yeah, I don't think it was something that they're like, oh, I think this will be smart if we do this. It was like, I think at the moment they got out of the car, I felt like it's like, yeah, we're probably going to lose now. Like, I think it was somebody was like pulling the ripcord on The Amazing Race.
Yeah, they just keep trying things. And I think they just kind of dug themselves into a bigger and bigger hole.
Mm-hmm.
And that strikes me as dumb, but I guess... I can see where if they had two different motives there, that could have been tough.
Okay. Let's take another question. All right. This is from Zach. Zach Attack 48 wants to know, has Kurgan received the most penalty time in an episode since Nancy and Emily in season 1?
I was wondering if that was going to come up because this might be the only analogous situation that we've had in Amazing Race history.
All right. Explain.
Back in season 1, Nancy and Emily had a detour that they were faced with where they could either locate a car that was parked somewhere. I can't remember what the other half of the detour was, but they had to find a car that was parked on this like grid of about 6 square blocks. And then they had to drive it to their destination and they knew what the destination was ahead of time. So they looked and looked and they could not find this car for the life of them. And they finally decided, well, we know where we have to go next. Let's just skip the car and just like take a taxi where we're going next. And it turns out if you quit a detour, and I think this is still true, but I'm not sure. But at the time penalty you would incur for quitting a detour was 24 hours.
24 hours.
And so they showed up on the mat and there was another team. In fact, friends of the podcast Team Guido were well behind them by almost a day. And Nancy and Emily show up on the mat and Phil eliminates them because there's a 24-hour time penalty that they've incurred. And so Team Guido, who are like 17 hours behind at this point, end up staying in the race.
Wow. Now, Jess, I mean, they only got a 2-hour time penalty, right?
That's for quitting a route marker.
Yes.
And the time penalty for quitting a roadblock, as we all know, is 4 hours. Time penalty for quitting a route marker task is generally 2 hours. Sometimes it's more. And then if you take a mode of transportation that you're not supposed to take, like if they tell you to walk somewhere and you take a taxi, you have to sit out a penalty that's equal to about the amount of time that you gained.
Okay, so they had a penalty for taking the train also?
They would have had a penalty for taking the train, and I think at that point it didn't matter. But I really wanted to know how much penalty they had racked up by that point.
Yeah. Okay.
Even though it was moot.
This is from George Wise. How much longer can Haley and Blair continue to perform somewhat well, seemingly in spite of themselves? Are they the functional, dysfunctional team?
Yeah, we've had teams like that. We have teams like that almost every season. Like, they just can't get it together in their personal lives, but they seem to be okay racers.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see. That would be great if they won, right?
I would love it if they won, because Haley might be the most interesting person on the entire season, and she might be the person that's saving it from being a total snooze fest.
Okay. Are you liking all this fighting that's going on, Jess?
I wouldn't say I'm liking it. I'm saying that it's adding depth to an otherwise fairly bland season.
Okay. Interesting.
Like, we have a little bit, like, Matt and Ashley are funny. They're kind of like a stealth Brooke and Robbie almost. And so I like them okay. And I like the blind date team still trying to impress each other a little bit. But the only person that's got a huge personality that we've seen so far is Haley.
Haley. Okay. It's been a good spring semester for Haley's on CBS so far.
Indeed.
Okay. Mr. Air Sonic says, how many times have teams been eliminated on the field? If I recall, it's only been 4 times, including this one, and 2 of them because of a missing flight. Jess, how many times has Phil had to eliminate somebody not on the mat?
It's happened a few times. It's happened at a task a couple of times. There is the infamous hay bale task in Norway, where this team unrolled hay bales for 8 hours and Phil came out to the field to eliminate them. There have been a couple where they've missed a flight, like Chester and Ephraim, we remember.
Yes.
And there was also the poker players in season 15 who, it was pouring rain and they couldn't finish the task, and one of the tasks closed and they were stuck at the other task shivering and sad, and Phil came out and got them. So it happens, you know, it's happened a handful of times.
Handful of times. Okay. More than 4?
It is more than 4.
Okay.
It might just be 5, but 5 is more than 4. So
the original Donald says, I believe Flight Time and Big Easy got docked for moving Ron and Christina's fanny pack in season 18. Is that correct?
They moved it to a different spot.
Do not touch the fanny pack.
They incurred a penalty, so maybe that was just Jeff and Jackie's angle. We're just not going to touch the fanny pack. We're going to leave it in the car. If they want to go get it, they can get it.
Yeah, like, oh, we didn't touch it. It was just rolled under the seat.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take this question. This is from Mike in Cleveland, who says, gotta disagree. I love the behind the scenes look during the Amazing Race. So Mike in Cleveland, again, maybe purchasing a Ford soon.
Yeah. He's got this, all of a sudden he's got an urge to drive a Ford Focus and he has no idea why.
I mean, I have to say, if the choice is commercial about the Amazing Race or commercials. Not about the Amazing Race. I mean, they didn't do it, I don't believe, in time that would have been allotted to the show. They aired that during the commercials. I feel like, isn't that more preferential?
Yeah, I guess so. I would rather have my commercial pertain to the subject matter than not.
Yeah. I mean, in a vacuum, you don't have to watch it.
Right. And I don't know. I just didn't think that it necessarily added much to watch people, like, you know, using a staple gun to put, like, fake snow on shit.
You weren't super impressed with the Winter Wonderland?
It was cute. It looked like a mini golf course.
Hmm. Yes. Okay. Let's take this question from Original Donald. Can we cure REO Speedwagon? Or can we cure REO Speedwagon for Tyler and Laura? They can't fight this feeling anymore.
I like it. That's their theme song.
Yes. Okay. How about...
You could go back to your own quote and say, you know, Tyler and Laura are gonna do it.
Wow. Eventually. Well, they're both good looking.
Yeah, they're good looking. They're affable. They seem like...
Even tempered.
Smart. Yes.
Yes. They seem compatible.
They seem very compatible.
All right. Let's take this one. Too real. Didn't the beer task seem really easy and crate stacking seem much harder?
Yes.
Is that the theme this
Next
season?
Next question.
Yes. One task is really easy.
Yeah, one task is really easy. One task is really hard.
How many beer steins could you carry, Jess?
I'm not sure, actually. I imagine I could probably carry 11.
11.
Pull my weight.
11. Boy.
5 in one hand, 6 in the other.
Okay. How many on top?
Well, you don't even need any on top if you can get 6 on one of your hands.
Okay. And have you tried that in personal experience yet?
I've tried like carrying 2 or 3, but I never have that many beer steins full of beer in one place at one time.
Yeah. All right. This is from Reggie, who says, could Kurt and Bergen have hired or had someone else drive for them? Didn't Myrna do that?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I think that is a thing that happened at one point, but they have cracked down on the rules as far as letting locals come along with you, because it used to be a thing. In fact, they even had a name for it. They called it a fern, after a girl whose name was Fern who helped a team one time. And you could just kind of Shanghai a local into coming with you on the race and taking you around to all the spots you needed to go to. But I think in recent seasons, that's been kind of, they've put the kibosh on that.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can't Fern anymore.
It's kind of frowned upon.
They're frowning on Fern.
Yeah, they are frowning on Fern.
Oh my God. Let's take one from Cameron Taylor, who says, are we set up for a 2-hour finale this season with the season finale set for May 15th? Yeah. Interesting, Jess. So it was announced May 15th is the finale of The Amazing Race. I believe that's 6 weeks from tonight. And so the Survivor finale is still the following week on May 20th. And so Jess, after a 2-week hiatus, what is the timetable looking like?
We're getting a double episode next week, I believe.
Is it 2-hour episode?
Yeah, it's either next week or the week after we get a double episode similar to what Survivor did a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, so we're going to double up. But Survivor isn't skipping any weeks as far as I know.
Mm-mm. No, but Survivor, I'm not sure how it's going to work, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I know we get at least one double episode coming up.
We've only had one non-elimination leg. Is it possible that we don't get 3 non-eliminations this season?
We might just get 2. Ooh. And I've heard rumors that we're going to do Final 4 again this year.
Okay.
So we'll see how that plays out.
All right. So that'll be something to watch out for as we go along. Let's take a few more questions. Original Donald says, would the singing task have been a 5-hole for Jonathan? Oh.
Well, it would have gone one of 2 ways. He either would have been amazing at it, or he would have said, you know, singing really isn't my thing.
Yeah, you know, singing in another language, that's not really something I'm good at. So we're going to have Harley do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was probably the more realistic scenario there.
Okay. Mr. Arisonic, how many times did teams get eliminated on the field? Yeah, we did. We talked about this. We think it's greater than 4.
Yes. I think it is somewhere greater than 4.
All right. Gary B says, name some people who aren't a couple after the race because of the race.
I don't know that I can say
because of the race
definitively. There's one team. There was a team. Their names were Peter and Sarah, and she was a triathlete of some stripe, and she had artificial legs, and he was like someone that made artificial legs, and they were a couple. And
well, that's a meet cute if I ever heard one.
Yeah, he's got something she wants, and. I don't know that they were ever really dating, but that was the angle that was played up for them on the show. And at the end, when they got eliminated, she says in a confessional, I guess I know what kind of person he is now, and I guess we're not going to be together.
Mm.
So it's happened before.
Yep. Okay.
And there has been, there was a team in season 6, Adam and Rebecca, who broke up and got back together over and over during the race.
Yes. The Amazing Rebecca.
Yes.
Yes.
You know her well because she was in your movie.
Yes. Yes. I do know her well. And she's gone on to do a lot of other things as well.
Yeah. She's some kind of fitness celebrity as far as I know.
Yes. Yes. She is a notable person for a lot of different things. All right. And let's do one more question. Mr. Airsonic says, why did it seem Haley was being extra mean this episode? Usually she waits until 5 minutes into the show, but this time, the moment she came on screen, she began whining. And we don't need to get into Mr. Airsonic's speculation for that.
My theory is that she just never stopped. Like, this is still carrying over from the previous leg, and She just kind of got on the plane and she was talking and she continued to talk on the 13-hour flight. And then she's still talking as they're getting in there.
Yes. So do you feel like maybe The Amazing Race will hinder any future blind dates for Haley?
I think if you're attractive and you're on television, you will get all the play you want.
Whoa.
I don't think it matters what you were like on the show. I think there is a lid for every pot, and I think Haley is going to have no shortage of gentlemen suitors.
Okay. All right. Well, good for Haley. The lucky lady.
Indeed.
Yes. All right. She's got the RX for love.
Yeah. Or, the RX of whatever she's looking for.
All right, Jess.
Sky's limit.
So let's talk about a hashtag for tonight's episode. What do you got?
A hashtag. I got GTA Ford Focus.
GTA Ford Focus. That's pretty good.
I got Lieutenant Obvious.
That's hard to spell.
Yeah, it is hard to spell. I've got
some other notable candidates. Hashtag Eric Stein.
he's gonna wonder what we were talking
he's
about.
He's not on Twitter. He's not on Twitter. We also
but he's probably looking himself up on Twitter. You don't have to be on Twitter to look yourself up.
That's fair enough. We have a hashtag Legmaker.
Legmaker. That's horrible.
All right. Let's go. I think that probably GTA Ford Focus is probably the best call.
All right, that's our hashtag, GTA Ford Focus. There you go.
All right, Jess. So next Friday night we will do this again, and we're waiting to hear word if it's a double episode next week. Does anybody have a idea in the chat room if it is a double episode? I thought they would have told us.
Yeah, well, they did. There was a press release that went out, and this is on me because I saw in the press release it said it returns on April 3rd, and then da-da-da-da-da, double episode, da-da-da-da-da, and I don't remember if it's next week or the week after, but one of the next 2 weeks is a double episode.
Okay, one of the next 2 weeks. All right, and so we will see exactly what is the deal, and we'll let you know during the week. I will have assuming they want to be on a call together, we'll have an Amazing Race exit interview with Team Kurgan, Bergen and Kurt.
You can always interview them separately.
I would think that might be better.
Or, just one of them. I mean, which one do you want?
Yeah. If I could pick one, boy, I feel like I might get the straight scoop more from Bergen, but you never know. But maybe Kurt might. They'd both be good. I wouldn't have an issue.
All right. Well, they would both be. I'm sure they would both be thrilled to talk to you.
Yes, I would be very excited to talk to either one. All right, Jess. So we'll do that. Boy, we had a very fun week on the podcast overall. I talked to some very fun people this week, and I'm not just talking about Stephen Fishback. We had a great show yesterday. Vetus was here in this very room. And then I spoke with the great Bryce Isaiah. Spoke with him. That was very fun.
Bryce is one of my favorites.
He's great. Everybody really loves the Bryce appearances on the podcast. I talked with Aika Wong earlier tonight, who was also just as fun. Talked some Big Brother Canada. We talked with Arlie from Big Brother Canada 2 earlier this week. So lots of Big Brother Canada talk on the podcast. We had a fantastic patron cast. And of course, we caught up with Spicen.
Yeah, that is an action-packed week.
That was a busy week. It was a busy week. All right. So, Jess, looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say, or what you have to say in your blog this week. Any ideas?
I don't really know yet. I got to go rewatch the episode.
Okay. All right. Jess is going to rewatch the episode. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. Have a great weekend. Have a good Friday. Happy Easter. Happy Passover to everybody celebrating or going into religious services this week. And we'll talk to you again soon.